Wistful Thinking is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For more podcasts about movies and nostalgia, visit cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me.
Welcome to Wistful Thinking, where this week we continue spooky season with 1997's I Know What You Did Last Summer. I'm Kara Gallo-Regan. With me is my co-host, Jordan Pullen-Clark.
Hi.
And we're going to talk about this movie that neither of us liked very much.
Yeah, well, okay, so when do you think is the last time you saw this movie?
Oh, probably like 1998.
Same, yeah. And if you had told me before I turned this on to watch it that that was the last time I saw it, I would have been like, no, like, surely I've seen it since then or, like, watched it many times or something. But then, like, when I turned it on, I was like, I can't remember a single thing that happens in this except for the one part that got parodied a lot where Jennifer Love Hewitt, like, yells into the sky.
Oh, I don't even remember that.
Where she's like, what are you waiting for? Oh. That got parodied a bunch, okay. I think.
The only part I remembered is the part towards the beginning where they're on the road and it's at night. And they hit a guy with the car.
Yeah, so if you, if you haven't seen this movie, or it's the titular thing. If you haven't seen this movie or you, like us, didn't remember any of it, it's about four teenagers who live in a fishing town and they've just graduated high school. And so, you know, they're all like planning their lives and college, and one of them wants to be an actress. They're played by Freddie Prinze Jr., Ryan Phillippe, Sarah Michelle Gellar, and Jennifer Love Hewitt. That was like a lot of names. To remember. That was hard. Which, like, I forgot that they were all in this, so when I, like, pulled it up to watch it and saw the cover, I was actually really excited.
Yeah.
So they are, you know, the summer's ending, and there's like a big it's a July 4th parade, like a big July 4th parade and pageant, and Sarah Michelle Gellar is like the pageant queen, and so they're celebrating afterwards, and like they've a little bit been drinking. Freddie Prinze Jr. is like the good guy and Ryan Phillippe is like the asshole, so like he's super drunk, so Freddie's driving his car. Do they have names? I don't remember any of their names.
Oh, who cares?
Great, okay, perfect. That, one of the, Helen, one of Sarah Michelle Gellar's name is Helen, which I remember because it's the like an old lady name.
Yeah.
Before it was cool to give kids old lady names, so that was weird. So they're driving, they hit this guy, and they're like, oh shit, he's dead. And so they go, Ryan Phillippe convinces them to just throw the body in the water, which, like, I don't know why any of them listen to him.
Me neither. He's extremely intoxicated, first of all. Like, don't listen to the drunk guy. Second of all, like, don't dump a body. That's a way bigger crime than accidentally hitting somebody with your car.
Yeah, and, like, all three of them were like, no, this is the wrong thing to do, and you're going to listen to the one guy that the three of you don't agree with? Like, whatever. So they go to dump the guy in the water, and he's not dead, and they see that he's not dead, and they do it anyway. So
really, that's the thing that they did last summer.
More accurate. Yes, they didn't kill a guy, but maybe they did. I don't know. Who knows? Who's the guy? Maybe we'll find out. So, flash forward 1 year, and they are all a mess. They are not friends anymore. I guess Jennifer Love Hewitt's kind of the protagonist. We follow her more than anyone else.
Yeah.
And she's, like, having a hard time at school. Her mom's like, what's wrong with you? You're going to fail out of college.
Well, I love that, like, when we, like, cut to a year later and see her on campus, like, the camera's behind her head, and then she turns around, and we're all supposed to be like, ah, she's so ugly now. But she looks still looks like Jennifer Love Hewitt, so.
Like, yeah, but everyone's, like, telling her how bad she looks. Yeah. Yeah. So she goes home for the summer, and her mom's like, oh, this mail came for you. And she opens it up, and it says, I know what you did last summer. And she's like, where did this come from? And her mom's like, I don't know. So then she goes and finds the other three friends and is like, this thing is happening. And they don't, like, believe her at first. And then, I don't know, people start getting murdered and stuff.
Yep. And then they try and figure out who it was that they killed.
Yeah, and they think they know. They think it was, like, this guy who... There's, like, newspaper articles about him disappearing. And he had had a year before that, he'd had a fiance named Susie who he killed by accident in a car accident. Like, the two of them were in a car accident. Susie died. This guy didn't. And so they think, like, they killed him now. And so Anne Heche plays his sister. So they, like, go to Anne Heche asking her all these questions to try to, like, figure out if maybe it was him. And she's scary. And that's cool. She's good in this.
Yeah, she's great. But she's, like, barely in it.
Yeah, she's in it a couple times, but...
Is she scary, though? It's just, like, she's, like, a redneck. That's all.
Yeah, but she does things, like... hold a knife in her hand for no reason. Not for no reason. Like, she's, like, gutting fish or something. But, like, she's, you know, like, holding it up and it's all bloody.
She's menacing.
Know? Yeah, a little bit. And the music is scary. They want us to be a little scared of her. So in the end, it turns out the killer was actually Susie's father. Right?
Oh, I have no idea. I had tuned out by
that. No. Okay, so the killer is actually Susie's father. I don't remember what. So I think what we find out is that the guy that they thought it was, Susie's fiance, did die because he committed suicide. Like, because he was so sad about Susie. And then this crazy dad just, like, goes after them because they dumped him in the water. I don't know. Or maybe he was, I don't know. I don't remember. It doesn't matter. That's the movie.
Yeah, basically.
As far as horror movies, it's not particularly scary. Nope. It's also purposefully not gory. Like, I read a little bit about the choices that they made, and so there's, like, some blood, but it's not, I don't know.
It's not gratuitous, but, it is written by, or was written by Kevin Williamson, who also wrote Scream, which, of course, is an amazing horror movie. And this he actually wrote before he wrote Scream and couldn't get it made until after Scream was a big hit. So it's a good thing that he got this one out of his system, because then he made a really good movie. You know?
No, wait. He didn't. Yeah, he did. You're right. He developed. I'm sorry. I was thinking of, because Wes Craven directed Scream, right?
Correct.
And this sorry, was I didn't mean to, like, by, wrongly correct you. I'm wrong. I put all the pieces together now. Well, and so I think maybe they rushed to make this because of Scream. Mm-hmm. They wanted to, like, hop on the bandwagon of, like, teen slashers, and it didn't go great because, like we talked about this last time, like, this has the, like, it should be good, right? Kevin Williamson gets teenagers because he made Dawson's Creek, and he gets horror because he made Scream. So, like, what happened?
Yeah. And maybe, like, all of the people in the movie are great.
Well, maybe, I was gonna say maybe part of it is the directing, too, because it was as if the director was like, hey, actors, you can make two faces for the whole movie. Choose them at the beginning, you only get two.
But you gotta commit. Yeah.
Because they don't, like, nobody ever smiles in this movie. There's a ton of smiling in horror movies, but, you know, usually there's, like, a range of emotions. But, like, they're, like, very flat, kind of,
yeah,
these characters.
Flat is a good way to describe the whole thing.
Yeah. There's what my favorite part, or the part that I thought was like, ooh, that was creative, good job. So, Helen, Sarah Michelle Gellar's sister, played by Bridget Wilson, who we've watched before in Billy Madison.
Oh, Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. She works at like a department store and Helen works there with her. So there's like one part where Helen's being chased by the killer. And so she like tries to hide in the department store with her sister. And her sister's like, bleh, what's going on? And of course she gets killed immediately. And then so Helen's in this store alone. And it's like it's nighttime. The store is closed. And so the mannequins are covered in like plastic, and the killer is hiding like as if he's a mannequin underneath the plastic. And I appreciated that, the way he like bursts out, although there's no way he could have gotten in there that fast. But yeah, other than that, like, Ryan Phillippe is the worst.
Yep. Yeah, and it turns out that he is the worst in every movie that he's in. And also real life.
Apparently also in real life. Yeah. Although this makes me want to watch Cruel Intentions.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't think he's the worst in that.
And oh, he's not a good person.
No, but nobody in that movie is a good person.
True. But he's like one of the worst people in the movie.
Yeah, but so
I
is
think.
Sarah Michelle Gellar. They're the worst together.
Yeah, but she's...
But he also has a like a character arc that takes him like to be a better person in that movie.
Oh, I don't remember how it ends.
Oh, he becomes better because of Reese Witherspoon.
Okay.
Because she is good. Mm-hmm. And she teaches him to be good because he accidentally actually falls in love with her.
Right.
So he... I think maybe that's why I said he wasn't the worst. Now that I've actually thought about the plot. Yeah, we should watch that one day.
Yeah. I hope it's better than this was.
I'm sure it's better than this was. This is where, or I think it is anyway, where Freddie Prinze Jr. and Sarah Michelle Gellar met. They're married now.
It is where they met.
They're still married.
They became friends and then later fell in love. And yes, they are still married. They have two kids, I think. Maybe three.
And they started in Scooby-Doo together.
Oh, yeah. With our favorite,
Matthew Lillard. Look at these former teen idols go. But, like, what... Freddie Prinze Jr. was, like, a big deal.
Yeah, he was.
In this time period, and he's just, like, gone now.
I think he produces a lot, and also, what is he doing? I forget. He does something, you know, just, like, not necessarily as in front of the camera as he used to be. He does a lot of voiceover, actually.
Okay.
He's in a bunch of voiceover things. Yeah, we also really should probably revisit She's All That.
Yeah, I feel like maybe there's like a month where we should do like maybe She's All That and Can't Hardly Wait.
Okay.
Which I, like, have you seen Can't Hardly Wait?
I'm sure I did.
I feel like we... Because we were talking about how you... Like, Ethan Embry doesn't live in your brain the way he lives in my brain.
True. So you didn't take any notes. I barely took any. We don't have much to discuss.
That's it. Thanks for listening, everyone. But it's just like, I didn't... There's nothing... It's such a flat movie. It wasn't even fun to write, like, this is stupid. Like, I don't...
It's true. Although it did open with a Type O negative cover of the Seals and Croft song Summer Breeze, which is, like, a real yacht rock classic.
Oh, I don't think I know that song.
Summer Breeze makes me feel fine.
Oh, I do know that. Yeah. Wow, I didn't hear that or put that together.
I took like two bars and I was like, fuck yeah. And it was all downhill from there. Like, literally, I did not get excited about anything other than that.
No, not really. No.
Disappointing.
I've been trying to multitask and like Google while we're talking what Freddie Prinze Jr. is doing now, and it's so hard to do two things at once right now. Here we go. This was a book, right? It's based on a book, and the author is you ruined this.
Lois Duncan. I was actually just reading that trivia point right now. Writer Lois Duncan was vehemently opposed to her book being reworked as a slasher film. So apparently it wasn't that before. Anyway, this is due to the fact that her youngest daughter was murdered by an unknown assailant in 1989. It's grim.
Yeah. Freddie Prinze Jr. did some WWE stuff 10 years ago. That's cool. I don't remember that.
That's what I was trying to think of. He still works with them quite a bit, actually.
No, he doesn't.
No? He does with wrestling.
First of all, I watch it now, and he has not been there. But this says in 2009, he kind of split with the... Oh, no, nope, I have to keep reading. Excuse me, I'm sorry. He split for real from them in, 2012, maybe? Let's see. When I write Yeah, he hasn't done anything with them in
Maybe it's several another years. Wrestling organization that I'm thinking about.
Yeah, he likes wrestling, apparently. That's fun. I love it. Is Sarah Michelle Gellar in anything anymore?
Every once in a while. She does all sorts of stuff now. In addition to being a mother, she also started this company called... Oh, I can't remember. Hang on.
Foodsters?
Foodsters, which is they sell boxes of pre-measured baking ingredients. So you just buy a box of stuff to make chocolate chip cookies.
Okay. It's always it's so many emotions around where our teen idols have ended up.
Yeah.
And that these were our teen idols? I don't know.
Well, I have a very strong attachment to Sarah Michelle Gellar because of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could take or leave the other ones.
It just seemed like for a while, yeah, I'm not even saying necessarily that I loved any of them so much, but it's that's who was around, you know? Mm-hmm. And this, there's a lot of wispy bangs in this, which somehow we've never talked about before.
You mentioned that to me, yeah.
I can tell you the person that I knew who had the best wispy bangs, and I just knew I could never have them.
Yeah. Well, that's the lament of the curly-haired woman, is it not?
Yeah, well, so I feel like some curly-haired women would have them anyway, and you just had to work so hard on them.
Yeah. Well, I had bangs for many years, but I was living my life as a straight-haired person.
Do you straighten your hair all the time?
I used to.
What?
Yeah, so for probably at least 4 or 5 years. I did it
every day.
Wow. Yeah.
Did it?
Not every day, but every time I washed my hair.
Does your hair stay when you straighten it?
It depends. Usually, for the most part, yes. And then I would just go over it. I would actually use a curling iron instead of a straightening iron because I found that a flat iron would make my ends too straight and weird looking.
It would make it too straight, not necessarily the ends. In my hair, it's it would have a lump at the top because you can't flat iron the top of your hair. Or, there's always a spot you can't get to.
Yeah.
And so then the rest would be too straight, and you'd have this dumb lump at the top. Ugh.
Well, first I would blow dry, blow dry with the straightener, and then go over it with a hot iron to, smooth it out, give it some shine, and then touch it up as needed over the course of a couple days.
I want to straighten my hair now. It would be so long.
I don't want to straighten my hair because I've been working so hard on reducing breakage,
Yeah.
And really trying to take care of my curly hair and care for it in a way that instead of being adversarial toward it like I was for so many years, really try and work with it.
I'm nervous. Like, I always tell people, are always like, oh, like, your hair, it's so, you have so much hair. And I'm like, no, this is all air. Like, this is a lie. I'm scared I would so be, like, true. Bald if I straightened my hair.
Yeah. My ponytail is, like, the size of a, it's, like, smaller than a quarter.
Yeah.
Diameter.
Definitely.
But my hair is large when it's curly. Where do we, how do we get here? Oh, wispy bangs.
Also, like, I listened to your episode of Too Fast, Too Forever. I can never remember what it's called. And you talked a lot about layering.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of, like, necklace layering in this.
A lot of layered looks.
There's also a lot of, like cardigan sets,
mm-hmm.
but that are V-necked and crop-topped. The undershirt is V-necked and crop-topped. And then there's a sweater over it.
Oh, the 90s. The late 90s.
And a lot of, like, sheer sleeves over tank tops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I didn't even notice what anyone was wearing other than that, like, dirty, gross dress that Anne Heche was wearing.
Yeah. I didn't notice what the men were wearing at all, except for when Ryan Felipe gets killed. For some reason, that white, because he's wearing like a white sweater that really sticks in my mind. But I noticed sweaters. That's a thing. Like, I remember, do you remember in the Truman Show? I was like, so, I like cried over his sweater.
I don't remember that.
All right, this is the thing that I did. And then, like, this sweater sticks in my brain, and then, are you a Breaking Bad person?
I watched it, but did I wasn't, like, obsessed with it.
Okay, so then you didn't watch El Camino yet.
Not yet, no.
There's also a sweater in that, and in Breaking Bad there are some sweaters. I don't know. I don't think this is true in real life, but there's something, like, so, like, domesticating when you put a man in a sweater. I don't quite have the words for what I mean, but, like, it's something, that's part of it.
Yeah, that's interesting. Especially those, like, velour sweaters. Or velour is not the right word, but, like, those, like, soft yarn,
yes,
kind of
shiny. Yes, like, the fat ones.
Yeah, that were, yeah. like, big in the late 90s. I'm actually looking through some of the still images on IMDb right now, and it looks like Ryan Phillippe might have also been wearing that white sweater the night that they killed someone.
Oh, really? Yeah. I don't remember him wearing a sweater then. That doesn't mean he wasn't. Yeah, other than that, the men were whatever. I mean, he had, like, that blonde hair that was, like, kind of, like, that Justin Timberlake had, too.
Ugh.
The, like, curly, like, dyed blonde tips,
Q-tips,
even though you already
yeah.
have blonde hair. Yeah. Like, that was very 1997.
Actually, now that I'm flipping through this, I did notice the clothes, and I noticed how bad they were, but I didn't make a note of it. Like those weird cropped shorts that Sarah Michelle Gellar wears that are like longer than anything that we'd see girls wear today, but still like somehow inappropriately short.
Yeah, even
and weirdly baggy.
Their tops are like that too, the women. Like mm-hmm. her boobs almost fall out a lot. But like in a sweater set. Like other than that, she's like very covered up. Oh, look at this. I'm looking at, there's like a hat.
Chenille. That's the
hat.
Word that I was looking for. Chenille sweaters.
Oh, he does have that sweater. That's not, there's two, he wears two white sweaters in this and then a bunch of wife beaters and that's it.
You know what? Chenille, now that I Googled it, is not the correct word.
I feel like chenille is like you make dresses out of it, but I don't know why I think that.
No, apparently you trim furniture and make carpets out of it.
Oh, cool. Wait, we're doing great. This is not what we specialize in. I'm so sorry if you're listening to this and you
know
about this.
Never mind. I was right. It is chenille.
Okay. All right.
But you can also make carpets out of it.
This movie has two sequels.
I don't think I saw them.
I couldn't tell you. I don't think probably nobody from the first one is in the third one.
Yeah. What, it's like, I still know what you did with this, or I still
with
know.
This summer.
Definitely what it's called. I still yeah, because, know what you did last summer.
Because at the end of this one, a happier Jennifer Love Hewitt is back at college, and she gets a note. No, he writes it on her shower, like in the seam. It says, like, I still know.
Right. And then what's the third one called?
I don't know. Let's see. I'll always know what you did last summer. Ooh, and there was a huge gap. So I Still Know was in 1998, and I'll Always Know was in 2006.
Interesting. Was it still last summer at that point, or was it?
It still says still last summer, but I don't think that's right. Ago. Yeah, no, I mean, for title purposes, they just kept it. And yeah, nobody from the original is in this one. And I'm reading the plot now. Oh, so yeah, they live in the town, and it's like a joke about the fisherman killer, which is like this killer in the original was had like a hook and a... They call it a slicker a lot, which like is not a word that anyone else in the world, like, not that nobody else in the world uses that term, I just, like, I can't tell you the last time I heard somebody say that.
Call something a rain slicker, really?
A slicker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard people call it that. Oh, wow. So many chenille sweaters now that I'm flipping through these. I see the white sweater that you're talking about, and you're right, it is a different white sweater. Also, Johnny Galecki is in this. He was on Roseanne, and then
oh,
now
is that Max?
You don't
know their names.
Whatever
he's,
that.
He's the first guy who gets killed, who's like trying to date Jennifer Love Hewitt, and she's like, "No, thank you."
But he wears a Baja in this, which I found weird for his character, who's supposed to be like, because it's like a stoner garment, really. His character seems more like a dweeb.
You know, yeah, but like a drunk bro dweeb.
Well, it is the South.
Okay, the plot for I'll Always Know What You Did Last Summer is basically the plot of this one.
Okay.
But like, you know, just replace some of the words with other words.
Mm-hmm.
And new people.
I assume that that's also what I Still Know What You Did Last Summer.
No, because, except at least I Still Know... still is following the one person who's left alive.
Oh, did they all die?
I don't remember. No, I don't think Freddie Prinze Jr. died. But I
don't think Sarah Michelle Gellar dies, too.
I think she did.
Oh, yeah. That's unfortunate.
Julie, Helen, Barry, and Ray. That's their names. They all have names.
Yeah,
quiz.
All,
which
like,
one's which, Kara?
Well, we already established that Helen is Sarah Michelle Gellar, which means that the other one is Julie. The other one, whatever her name is, Jennifer Love Hewitt. And then it was Barry and what?
Barry and Ray.
I think Barry is Ryan Phillippe?
Yes.
Okay. And then Ray is Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yes.
There's a lot of, like, I don't know if lens flare is the proper word for it in this movie. Like, the car headlights and stuff are all kind of, like, blown out into, like, horizontal lines. A lot of the lights, like, the lights in the movie look like that at night. And it seems like a very deliberate, like, choice. But I'm not sure why. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean, but I didn't notice it so much. But now that you mention it, yeah. Most of the murders in this movie could have not happened if people would just, like, not turn around for so long. Do you know what I mean? Like, they keep, like, getting, like, for people who are being chased and who know there's like a murderer around, or even just for like normal people, they're like super not on top of their shit, like at all.
True.
Like, I feel like there's at least two murders where the person's like, huh? And they just, like, look to the side for 1 second too long, so the killer gets them.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Which is kind of lazy.
I mean, that's the way this whole movie feels, is, like, lazy. Also, Sarah Michelle Gellar is so bad at looking like she knows how to smoke a cigarette.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Oh, she looks so unnatural. I just came across this picture of it. Let me send it to you. I don't understand how it's possible to look that unnatural holding a cigarette. She also, in this image that I just sent you, is wearing, like, a metal arm cuff of her arm jewelry.
Oh, yeah, she is. Look at all of Jennifer Love Hewitt's necklaces.
It's a lot of necklaces.
This was also a time period where, like, it seemed very acceptable to have, like, long, very thin hair. Like, nobody wants hair like that anymore.
It's true. Well, also, though, I think that Jennifer Love Hewitt's hair is flat and stringy on purpose to make her seem uglier.
Because that's the one thing they did to make her look bad.
Yeah. And they put, like, some dark circles-ish under her eyes. But, you know, her hair is, like, deliberately flat. Because also, at the very beginning of the movie, before they kill someone, Sarah Michelle Gellar tells her that even when she becomes a big shot lawyer, she has to make sure that her hair looks nice. I forgot why.
Yeah. You got any other trivia?
I don't think so. Jennifer Love Hewitt had just appeared alongside former Scream Queen. Former Scream Queen Jamie Lee Curtis in House Arrest prior to filming this movie.
We also need to watch that.
I don't even know if I know that movie.
I'm sure it's terrible. Like, it's definitely a children's movie, but, like, the cast is insane. Like, she's in it. Jamie Lee Curtis is in it. I think Tom Arnold plays Jamie Lee Curtis's husband that she's getting divorced from. Maybe I'm wrong. Jennifer Tilly is in it. Like, there's a lot of real, like, interesting actors in it. Like, I watched it a lot when I was a kid.
Interesting. I don't know if I ever saw it.
They all kidnap their parents. Like, a group of kids kidnap their parents because, like, one of them is because they're going to get divorced, and so the kid is like, wait, have we watched a movie where someone's name is Mud? That was Camp Nowhere, right?
I think so. We definitely watched a movie where someone's name is Mud.
I'm definitely mixing up that kid and the kid in this movie.
I mean, when you said, like, a group of kids all kidnap their parents, I was like, oh, it's like reverse Camp Nowhere.
It's got Camp Nowhere vibes, yeah. For sure. And I think one of the kids is in both of them. So, like, one, like, parents are going to get divorced, so he's like, well, I'll just lock you in the basement until you decide not to get divorced. And then all the other kids are like, I want to do it too, and so they lock all their parents in the basement.
Got it. Well, anyway, they were in that movie together, and then they were both shooting movies in North Carolina at the same time. So Jennifer said that Jamie came over to the soundstage to wish her luck on her very first horror film and would come over every day after that to give her a hug.
That's so nice.
Isn't it?
Yeah. I'm reading. This says that I Know What You Did Last Summer is the sixth highest grossing slasher film ever.
That's pretty crazy. And
that seems unfortunate. Wrong.
Yeah. There are so many better movies than this.
So many.
But yeah, no, I don't have any more notes.
Cool. I don't know. Don't watch this, I guess.
Yeah, it's definitely not worth revisiting.
Unless you're like, I need something on in the background and I like horror movies. Like, sure, I guess.
But even still, there's definitely better movies to watch. Or, like, better movies to put on in the background.
Yeah, especially because I think I paid for this. I don't think this was free.
You're right. I also did. But it was only, like, 99 cents.
So yeah. Like,
fine. You know when I watched after it, though, that what? I genuinely enjoyed both the first time I saw it when it came out and when I watched it the other night, What Lies Beneath, starring Michelle Pfeiffer and Harrison Ford.
I've been very curious if that is still good, because that was a movie that I saw like when it first was on TV, like after it was out, and it used to be on like cable on movie channels all the time. So I watched it a ton when I was like probably 14.
Yeah. I loved it. I saw it like once at a sleepover when I was 13 and I was like, okay.
What so, is it? It's like unclear. Is Michelle Pfeiffer dead? Is she like a ghost who's like haunting him?
I had all of these exact same questions going into it again. I was like, I can't remember. Is she the ghost? Or so what I also didn't remember is that it takes place in Vermont.
Ooh.
Yeah. But yeah, her husband is Harrison Ford, and he's this like distinguished professor of genetics working on some important research, blah, 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 blah. They have these next door neighbors who just moved in and they fight all the time. And she suspects that the husband killed the wife. And then it turns out that that was not the case. So she thinks that happened, and she thinks that it's that wife who's haunting her house, but that's not the case. And then it turns out, do you want me to tell you, or do you want to just see the movie again?
No, it's you really can good. Tell me.
Okay. So it turns out that Harrison Ford had had this affair with a student and then murdered her,
and that's
the ghost that's haunting the house. But it's amazing, because then he tries to murder Michelle Pfeiffer, and the ghost, in solidarity with Michelle Pfeiffer, murders Harrison Ford. It's great.
I remember that part being, like, very, like, surprisingly bloody. Is that right or wrong?
You cut out. What did you say?
Oh, I remember that part being, like, very surprisingly, like, bloody, the way that it happened. Or, like, really, it was, like...
Yeah, it was pretty gruesome, because he, like, he had this, like, chemical that he was using on... rats in the lab that would like paralyze them and make them not feel any pain, but also like they would still be conscious. So he like drugs her with that, and she's in the bathtub and she's about to drown, and then he somehow slips and hits his head and then is bleeding all over the place and like bleeds all over the house, and then like they're in the car, and I don't know, it's not bloody so much as it is, I mean there is blood, but like her corpse comes up and like grabs him and pulls him under, and that's like scary.
Under the floor, right?
No.
Oh, that's what I remember. I made that up.
Well, there's one time where the corpse is in the bath, he sees the corpse in Michelle Pfeiffer's place, and then there's another part where they wind up in Lake Champlain, and she comes up and grabs him and pulls him under the water.
Okay.
Yeah, I liked it. It was great. I learned when I was 13 that women should never trust men under any circumstances, thanks to this movie.
This movie taught you that?
Yep.
All right.
It's an important lesson.
I mean, yeah. I watched Hellraiser.
Oh, yeah, you did, and you loved it.
It was so good.
Right?
It was so good. Like, it was weird and gross, and the special effects were, like, kind of good and kind of like, oh no, this is 1987. Like, it was perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, I really, really love that movie.
The demons are weird.
Yeah, the
Cenobites. Like, creative. Like, yeah. Wow. Just wow.
Yeah, I had, like, really high hopes for the sequel, which, like, didn't quite live up to it, but I think it's like such an interesting concept and so interestingly executed. Actually, today I just rewatched Cabin in the Woods, and in that there's like all sorts of creatures, and one of the creatures is, I recognized someone who's basically not quite Pinhead, but has like pieces of like a buzzsaw coming out of his head instead of the pins, and instead of having like a cube puzzle, has like a orb puzzle. And I was like, yeah. Oh, that's from Hellraiser. I recognize that now because I've actually seen it. Because I didn't see it for years because when I was a kid, I was so afraid of the box covers in the video store.
Yeah, that was that and Silence of the Lambs were the scariest box covers at the video store. Like, even like searching Hellraiser and then like scrolling the pictures and like the movies that come up. I think I just like searched Hellraiser on Amazon. So then I was like scrolling through. Like, even scrolling through that gave me the feelings of being at the video store and being scared of the picture.
Mm-hmm. Terrifying. I also saw Candyman for the first time, which I had seen the beginning of when I was little and got too freaked out by.
And I don't even. Saw the whole thing. I feel like that was one of the ones that, like, some of my. Like, I wouldn't. Like, my parents didn't like horror movies, so, like, I had no access to them. You know, like, I feel like if your parents watch horror movies, sometimes you, like, accidentally or like on purpose see them when you're a kid. Like, that didn't happen to me. So I like all my friends would be like, "Ooh, Candyman," and I like still have no concept of what it is. Tell me about it.
Oh, it's so good and interesting. Basically, I don't even know if I can describe it, but it's about this woman who, she's a graduate student researching urban legends. And they are in Chicago, I think. Chicago. I'm going to go ahead, say they're in Chicago. It might be a different city. But so she hears this when, you know, interviewing people about urban legends. She hears this urban legend about a guy called the Candyman who haunts these specific projects in the city, and that he had been some guy from like the 1800s. I forget. Anyway, I don't remember. I'm sorry. I'm tired.
That's okay. But I could just watch it one day.
Yeah, you should just watch it. Go watch Candyman. It's really great. It touches on issues of like race and class and all sorts of really interesting things. And it's scary as hell and super good. So, highly recommend.
Cool. That's an old. That's what year is that?
1992. Yeah. Okay. Early 90s.
All right, yeah. Still, I like that era. Yeah, I think that's all I've watched. I mean, I said I watched El Camino.
Mm-hmm.
Duh.
I've watched quite a bit. I saw The Cell for the first time, starring Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, I love that one a lot, I think.
Really?
Well, okay. Here's why I said I think like that. I don't think I've seen it since the year 2004.
Yeah.
But I liked it that, or like, not necessarily that it's like so good or something, but mm-hmm. like, I remember thinking it's like, it's weird.
It is weird.
And pretty dark.
And very dark. I mean, J-Lo is great. She's always great. Mm-hmm. But the premise of it is that she goes into the brain of this serial killer, and they're trying to like find his last victim before she actually dies, and like the whole like brainscape is so interestingly designed, and very like the art direction is great. But this guy, like, they make up this form of schizophrenia that he has, and it's just, like, you know, another in a long line of movies that, you know, add to the stigma of people living with mental illness, particularly more severe ones like schizophrenia.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly wouldn't have received it that way.
Yeah.
You know, when I was 18 years old.
Yeah.
I wasn't woke yet.
Yeah, who among us was?
It was too hard. No one was woke then.
I've watched a ton of really good and interesting movies. I told you I watched a movie called The Invitation, which was directed by Karin Kusama. It just came out on Netflix a few years ago, starring the guy who played Trey Atwood on The OC.
Oh yeah, that's what you were telling me about.
That was really interesting. I think a lot of people would probably find it really boring, but I really enjoyed it. It's about like a dinner party that goes awry. But I liked that. I liked, what else did I see? Oh, I watched a horror movie with Chidi from The Good Place that is not Midsommar, although I did
Oh,
also watch
another
that.
one? Wait,
Yes.
I'm so scared to watch Midsommar. Am I correct that I like shouldn't watch it alone or that I should like make sure I'm in the right circle? Like I'm so nervous to watch it.
I don't know. I
Like
watched it right before I went to bed and like didn't have a hard time sleeping. That
Hereditary was traumatizing.
Okay.
So that's why I'm scared to watch
Yeah.
it.
I didn't see that one. It's fucked up. It's definitely fucked up. But interesting and like nice to look at and kind of mesmerizing, but way too long. There's a tiny barf about 2 hours in,
Okay.
but not a big barf. No, I think you'll be fine. I mean, like unless you take mushrooms before you watch it, which I wouldn't recommend doing.
Not gonna.
Okay. But it was interesting. I can't tell if I loved or hated it because I loved things about it and I hated things about it, and I'm not sure which of those two things I feel more. But yeah, he was in this other movie called They Remain, and it's just him and this one other woman who was on Russian Doll. She's like one of the people at the party. But that doesn't matter. Anyway, they play these two scientists who get sent to this site where a cult used to live and like murdered a bunch of people. And they are supposed to be gathering data on like bizarre natural phenomena, but then like weird shit starts to happen. And I really liked it. It's
Okay.
another one that people might find very boring, but I genuinely enjoyed.
I'm curious if I'll be able to accept William Jackson Harper as anyone except Chidi ever again.
Well, I just am like, oh, Chidi from The Good Place, you in danger, girl. It doesn't,
Well,
he's fine. He
that
can
takes
be.
me out of it. I have trouble with that.
Okay, yeah.
Like I remember the first time I saw Jon Hamm in something after, or like I think it was even while Mad Men was still on, but like he made a movie and the whole movie like he played a cop, I think, and I was just like, Don Draper, why are you doing that? Like I couldn't like make them be separate things.
Yeah, that's understandable. I mean, he's like his character both in They Remain and in Midsommar are like not that far off from Chidi. Like he's still like a brainiac in both of them.
But
So
Chidi is so funny.
yeah. He's not that funny in these other ones. But there's not like a ton of humor in the other ones. Like
No, I can imagine.
actually, Midsommar, I laughed, I think, a lot during, and you are supposed to laugh at certain things. I laughed more than I expected to. But I don't think it was because, like, he was funny. It was more just, like, bizarre, seemingly out of place elements, that made me laugh. I also rewatched A League of Their Own
Assume
for.
still good.
God, it's honestly like I it's one of my favorite movies. It's the first movie that ever made me like really, really cry. And it still makes me really, 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 really cry. And I think I enjoy it more now, actually, as an adult, because I can like understand so much more about like what these women are going through. But you can hear me talk about it on an upcoming episode of the Tom Hanks podcast, Hanks for the Memories. I couldn't remember the name for a second. Hanks for the Memories.
When is your next lap?
Well, I just watched Too Fast, Too Furious today.
Oh my gosh.
And we're recording that one tomorrow. So I don't, whenever the next episode comes out, I guess.
Can you just make sure to talk about the cargo shorts?
Oh boy, the cargo shorts didn't even register with me.
I think that's the one I'm thinking of. Like, there's one. Dang, maybe it's not Too Fast. Maybe it's the next one. Anyway, there's one in the beginning that I remember watching it and being like, oh my god, these shorts, I can't.
Well, I would imagine that it might be this one, because I actually was thinking, like, there's not as much good fashion in this because everyone's too sweaty. You know, it takes place in Miami. People just aren't wearing this, like, the layered looks are gone because people are too hot.
Yeah.
So if anything, it would be this movie, but I am looking through some images and I don't see any cargo shorts. Although Brian definitely wears cargo shorts or some kinds of shorts because...
Yeah, it's Brian wearing them.
Okay, yeah. Because he has, like, his socks pulled up and looks like a skater boy.
Yeah, okay, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay, yeah.
I wish that we could talk more, but you have to, you gotta save it.
This I gotta is not save for it me. For the other podcast, it's true. Although I don't really have much to say about the second one, I don't think. I didn't enjoy it as much as the first one.
It's the worst one. Like...
I'm getting so many mixed messages. Some people are like, really? It's the best one. You're going to like this one.
No, I'm sorry. Who says it's the best one?
Oh, I don't know if anyone said it was the best one, but Joe and Joey said that based on the things that I latched onto in the first one, they're all here in the second one, and I would really like this too, and I just didn't feel that way.
But this is... Save it. I won't even. It's okay. Have things to say, I won't say them. His t-shirt is so baggy also, though.
Which one? The
Brian, like,
Orange
Brian's
County
t-shirt.
Choppers t-shirt?
I'm looking at pictures. Even just, like, his white t-shirt is too baggy. Like, his orange. Yeah, okay, he has this orange t-shirt on, and it's gigantic.
I realized while I was watching it that I find, the speaking voice of Ludacris to be very soothing. Like, I want him to read me bedtime stories.
That would be...
He should do, like, GPS directions, you know? I would find that very soothing.
Yeah, I like him in these movies in a lot. And this was... Nope, never... I'm not going to talk to you about this. I have to save it. Because everything I want to tell you about it, I also know that Joe and Joey are going to tell you.
Yeah.
Like, background and, like, context and all that.
Okay. I'm still trying to find that orange shirt.
Oh, hold on. I can send it to you. Let's see.
Did you know that John Singleton directed the second one?
I don't know who that is.
He did Boys in the Hood.
Oh, okay.
I was surprised to see that.
Here, I'm sending you a link.
Oh my god, I'm at the section of the IMDb photos from, like, the premiere, and it's so 2003.
Wow.
The only person who looks even remotely okay is Tyrese, who looks great, of course.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
His smile is beautiful. I could watch him. I could watch him smile while Ludacris reads to me for a long time.
The picture you sent was not a good illustration of the giant orange shirt. Cause you can, like, I need, like, a standing up photo.
Where are the pictures of the premiere? How do I? I don't know how to use this website.
I just came across a picture of Devon Aoki in a very interesting outfit that I guess she wears in that movie, but I don't remember these odd chaps-like things that are... Oh, boy.
Oh, wow. Huh, I have questions. I don't even have questions about her shirt.
Yeah, I mean, she's got the layered look going on, but...
It also looks like she has, like, denim shorts on.
Yeah. But they're like not exactly chaps. They're more like garter belt
chaps. Some of the pants are missing. In a non-specific way that you've never seen anywhere else before.
Here is a link to the gallery with the premiere photos. Brandy was there. Kelly Rowlands was there in a denim cut-off skirt. Because it was 2003.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yep. I was just talking to someone the other day at work about how when I first learned how to sew, I think my very first project was like deconstructing a pair of jeans and turning them into a cut-off denim skirt because it was like 2004, and what else were we going to do?
That's so practical. Good job.
Thank you.
All right. Is that it? Did we do it?
I think we did it. We're both very tired.
Yeah, I'm so tired.
So, we need to figure out what we're going to do for our next episode.
We did already.
Did we?
Yeah, I don't remember what it was. we were like, cool, we got a bonus movie. It's going to be this movie. And we were like really excited about it.
I don't know if that's true.
No, it's true.
I have zero recollection of that.
We just have to hope that it was in Facebook chat so that we can scroll back and see what it was.
Right. Because it's a Halloween spectacular.
It's going to come out on Halloween, that one. Oh, dang. Well, it was like a good movie. I don't know. Figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
We're not good at this part. That's okay.
But anyway, Jordan, if people wanted to know where to find you, where should they look?
I'm on Instagram at JordoPC.
I'm on Instagram at Bimps, BIMPSE, and we'll talk to you next time on Wistful Thinking.